Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. It's been a long time since I've done this one. So we're glad to be back on this side of the pond, as my mother says. And today is Tuesday, November the 12th, and we welcome you to the show. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. No, is that right? I've not done this in so long. How funny. Want to extend a thank you to Michelle and Tim for filling in for us so much. Michelle's in the prison with Rex today. And so she may join us later, but and I'm a little behind getting on the switchboard, so I'm going to hand this over to Michael, and I'm going to go get logged into the chat room.
Cool. So the chat room will be up momentarily. We're delighted that you're with us. We're just excited and honored that we have this opportunity to share this ancient technology, these ancient tools that come directly out of the Aramaic language, the Aramaic language being the root language of, interestingly enough, at least 6 of the world's major religions, though it's not a religious language. It is a physics language. It is a psychological language that goes to such depth that it's incomprehensible in terms of today's world. It is a physiological language. It is a genetic language. In short, it just tells us how the whole game works. And one of the games that the worm plays with its words is to teach us words that are the opposite of how it works. For instance, if you listen to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, he says, the first law, the number one thing you need to be concerned about, and the Greeks mistranslated this so badly and made it sound like it's something you do to somebody else, and the Greeks translated it, you've got to love God, neighbor, as yourself. And the Aramaic says nothing like that, nothing whatsoever like that. What it does say, and this first law has nothing to do with the Creator, with your neighbor, but it has a whole lot to do with self. In Aramaic, what it says is you must maintain a condition called rachma in your mind, a filter in the frontal lobes of your brain that are a gateway to human life entering into the human form. This is the only thing that will ever keep you safe. This is the only thing that will make your world sane. The first step in the process, you must maintain this condition. It was called rachma in Aramaic. When you think of the Creator, when you think of neighbor, and then interestingly enough, as opposed to being as self, what it says is in order to maintain self. So if you want to maintain a human life, what's a human life? Well, hold a newborn child, you know what a human life is. How many words has your culture taught you that are designed to take away your human life? Well, Michael, what do you mean by that? Well, let's take a look. The world tells you that you need your protection, your rage, your guilt, your fear. You need all those things in order to make a good game of this thing called life. And they are the very frequencies, literally the very energies that destroy human life. What we're looking to do is to restore human life. First learn that rachma is a condition in your own mind that makes your mind sane and is the gateway through which you maintain your human life. And notice that the whole culture, and you know, people talk about conspiracy, pardon me, theories, and these crazy conspiracy theorists. Well, it's not a theory anymore. It's a fact. It's proven. It's known. It's easy. In fact, you can do a very simple piece of research. If you listen to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, he says the power of life and death is in your words. I invite you to do this piece of research, and here's what I guarantee. Everybody's result will be identical. Everybody's result will be totally, completely, 100% reproducible. Here's the experiment. Sit down in front of your television set. Hold the clicker in your hand. Hold the channel changer. Don't spend any more than 3 minutes on one channel. Go from one to another to another to another. And listen, 2-3 minutes at a time. Have a piece of paper, and on the left-hand side of the page, have a column just a quarter of an inch wide. In that quarter-inch column, every time you hear a word that truly is based in human life, that truly represents the active presence of love, put a check mark on the page. Every time you hear a word based in hostility or fear, put a check mark on the page. You'll fill 10 pages with check marks about hostility or fear before you'll ever get one column filled with words about love. That's called conspiracy. Conspiracy means to breathe together. Those who don't know who they are as the active presence of love conspire. They breathe together in insanity, in words based in hostility or fear. Conspiracy doesn't mean everybody got together and said, oh, let's do this. It means everybody's breathing in the same insanity. We're looking to, with this work, restore sanity, to give people the ancient Aramaic technology of forgiveness, which is the tool with which you remove the insanity that you and your generations have been brainwashed with. That's what we're here to support you in. That's what we're here to learn. That's what we're here to teach. Now, if that makes any sense to you at all, then it behooves you to begin to or to continue to engage in the process of forgiveness. Another word that's been changed, the word forgive, in our culture, it's been taught to us as it comes through the Greeks as, you know, you did something really terrible that caused all this pain inside of me, but it's okay. I'll forgive you. I'll let you off the hook because I'm in rage and grief and pain or trauma. And notice that letting somebody else off the hook, if your mind, if your physiology is producing rage and grief, pain, and trauma, does nothing whatsoever to address or change the grief, rage, pain, or trauma. What actual forgiveness does, and when you change the meaning of the words, you destroy whatever that original word meant. Vladimir Lenin said it. You want to destroy a culture, change the meaning of its words. We say that you need to love one another, as though love was a verb, something we do to each other. The words have been changed. Love is not a verb. It's not something you do to somebody else. It is a noun. It is your true condition. It's who you are. But if you think it's something you've got to get from somebody else, then you'll be looking for love in all the wrong places. We've been taught to forgive. Let somebody else off the hook for what's happening inside of us. We say, stop. Stop letting others off the hook for what's happening inside of you and calling that forgiveness. If you choose to let somebody else off the hook because you're in pain or trauma and they've done something that's inappropriate, wonderful. Let them off the hook and then engage in your forgiveness work. And forgiveness is the tool with which you go inside yourself, literally removing the hostility, the fear, the grief, the pain, so that you can actually follow the first law. Elsewise, your mind and its insanity will always find somebody else to blame for what's going on inside of you, somebody else to forgive because your physiology, your mind, your emotions are producing things that never belonged in the human system. So instead of letting others off the hook for that, what we invite you to do is to go inside yourself and begin to be responsible, actually grow into adulthood and be responsible for the output of your own mind. The output of your mind is about you. It's not about them. And so as you engage in forgiveness, you literally reduce the capacity of your physiology to produce anything based in hostility or fear. And what happens is surfacing from within you naturally comes human life. When Rachma is the condition in your mind, then human life enters into human form and you get to experience yourself as you are. That's what we're here to support you in. And if you'd like to access that technology, please go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see a link that says Start Here, or there's actually a big bullseye in the middle of the page. Click that bullseye, and that will take you into a series of links that will explain the whole forgiveness process, including give you several radio shows that you can just download. You just right-click on them, save them where you know where they are in your computer, and you can listen to six different radio shows, each one with different shades of understanding of forgiveness, of the how-to of going inside yourself and removing what never belonged. And so that's what we're here to support you in. And we invite you to call in if you have a question or something to share about your experience of the process, or as you engage in the tools, do you have questions? How can we support you in that process of forgiveness? Our calling number is 646-200-4169, and we'd be delighted to hear your sweet voice. In the meantime, Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us? Is Michelle with us?
He is, and he is on. No, Michelle was direct at the prison. She said she wouldn't be on today, but Dr. Tim is with us, and he is on. Hi, Dr. Tim.
Well, hello, Michael and Jeannie.
How do you be, good sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Cool, it's nice to be back.
Yeah, I bet. You know, that's one of the better parts of traveling when you love the home you come from is coming home.
It is, and nice to be on terra firma, you know, solid ground, the ground that isn't moving. So
yeah,
it's pretty
and a
cool.
Network where your voice can be heard
to be
clearly.
Solid ground.
So it's delightful to have you back and not have to scramble to the phone right away. I heard probably 98% of your intro, and so thank you for being back. Allows me to get to get a little snack in before rushing back to seeing people at 1. And I was just going
to
say,
do you have anything to share with us, or anything that has stood out in the last few weeks while we've been gone that we might want to go into a deeper conversation about?
Well, there have been so many things. It was, you know, there were so many delightful people calling. We had to illustrate the range of topics. You know, on one day, one call was somebody who was upset because their cat peed outside the litter box and had anger about that. And the next call was somebody with multiple personality disorder and a violent alter personality had come out. So we were all over the map. We had lots and lots of interesting conversations about different things. I think we actually had a worksheet process that happened once, but my mind blurs. Last week there was some stuff going on about regulatory speech and people catching me in a regulatory speech faux pas and the reactions to that and how people can use regulatory speech to try and trip up others, or they can use it as a tool to help themselves. And I think, you know, all in all, we've had some very productive, stimulating shows. The last theme, of course, was from last week, I would say, would probably be the regulatory speech issue. But we've been all over the map. So take your pick. Any of the topics you normally talk on, we've probably hit 80% of them while you were gone.
Cool. Well, isn't it awesome when you have the underlying energetic principles in brain cells to understand how the game works, that all of those things, whether it's the cat experience or it's the multiple, the solution comes down to, okay, so how are we going to change this energetic pattern, rather than the mind coming up with, I have to figure this out. You know, we in our codependence to interdependence workshop, we outline several what I call pseudo-solutions of the non-being mind, of the hostility and fear-based self. And the number one pseudo-solution where most people live most of their lives is, if I could just figure this out, then everything would be all set, as opposed to, forget about figuring it out, because you can't figure it out, but you can forgive it. You can apply the principles of forgiveness, delete and remove from your mind what never belonged, and live in a whole different world. It's interesting. I'll oftentimes have people when they hear I'm doing this workshop on forgiveness, and they'll say, "Oh, well, I don't need to do that workshop, Michael. I've already forgiven everybody in my life, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother." It's like, "Oh, really? Okay. So what if I said this isn't about letting anybody else off the hook? It's got nothing to do with it. It's got to do with going inside of ourselves. And if the cat doing what it does brings up my rage and my anger, then there's my opportunity to heal my rage and my anger. And if my multiple, violent comes out, then now I'll breathe and I'll apply the tools and I'll remove that mind energy that produces this image of me as this violent person." And, it all becomes so understandable and workable. That's the beauty of the Aramaic psychology and first century Aramaic forgiveness. It's so awesomely powerful.
Agreed.
Well, let's check.
And I think one of the best aspects of it is once we start to master looking inward instead of outward. I mean, we've been so strongly conditioned that the reflex is when I have pain inside of me, I'm looking outside of me. And once I start to build my own habit of redirecting the focus of my attention, now I've opened the doorway. And it still blows me away how it builds momentum and gets easier the more I work on that particular habit. Just catch
Absolutely.
Myself earlier and earlier in the process, and then the options for integrating the energy multiply exponentially.
Yes, for sure. Fabulous. Well, let's check with Jenny and see if she's got any callers for us. Is there anybody with a hand up, sweetie, or anything happening in the chat room we need to be aware of?
Actually, there is nobody in the chat room, so I don't know if it's because I was a minute late getting it signed on or what, but if anybody's out there trying to get in, if you'll just do a refresh in your browser, it should pop up fine. We do have a hand up, and I believe that it's Richard.
Let's say hello.
Hey, how is everybody?
Hi.
Hey, good sir. Welcome.
Glad to hear you. Had a safe trip, and I'm back on terra firma and doing the show again. That's great.
So are we. It's good to hear your voice, Richard. How do you be? What's exciting in your world?
Well, a couple things. First of all, I was the one that called in about the cat being outside the litter box. And it's one of those things where, my awareness was being aware of when the cat, even in the middle of the night, would go to the litter box, because I always resented getting up and finding I'd had to clean up a mess outside the box. But after that last time and talking about it on the show, I did some more observing of the cat and found out that he liked to use the crystals, crystal litter to pee in. So I put a separate litter box with crystals in it outside the box. And guess what? He's used it ever since. So hopefully, keep my fingers crossed, I solved that problem. But again, I sort of stepped back and did some more observing. I mean, this is an issue that's been going on for a while for the between me and the cat. And so hopefully now I've finally solved that issue, or the energy of the universe solved it, not me. But, just being aware of what was going on inside me and doing some worksheets on it and then spending some more time just observing the cat and what he liked and what he didn't like. So anyway, that's resolved, hopefully.
I've got some input before you move on, and that is that notice that all of the conversation is about the problem with the cat rather than the problem with the mind that produces anger. And I'd offer that it's your forgiveness work that will change the angry mind. It's not solving the problem with the cat. If in our communication, did you hear what I think I said workshop, we offer that most people, the only thing or the real thing they want to do is just solve their problems. Well, let's just solve this. And the problems we create are a product of what goes on in our minds, and they are the opportunity to recognize if I have a mind with anger in it, it's time for me to put an end to the anger. whatever the cat does, in or out of the box, crystals, not, you know, that's all totally, completely irrelevant to the fact that my mind finds reasons to be angry. And the reason it finds reasons to be angry is because there's anger in there. And when I choose to forgive as to my anger, then I begin to look deeper inside myself. I stop trying to solve the problem out there, and I step first into healing. And as I step into healing, then the problem will oftentimes simply resolve itself. But the seeming problem isn't the problem at all. The game is to recognize, and as Tim said, keep going inside of ourselves to see how easily my mind can find something to trigger my anger and believe that it's about, and I want to have a conversation about them or that or whatever the issue is. And instead of shifting the conversation into, here I am again in my angry mind, I think, rather than fixing the cat problem, I think it's time for me to heal my angry mind and literally come to the point where, having done your work, no matter what the cat did or didn't do or anybody else did or didn't do, there would be literally zero capacity for anger. I'd offer that's the state that we want to head toward.
I agree with you totally. Certainly, it's been a long-term issue with me with the cat, and I've been doing worksheets on it forever. And you know, the last time, you know, I just experienced this what was more like a small irritation in my gut when I, you know, and I did the worksheet on it. So yeah, you're absolutely correct. It's about letting go of that. Forgiving the anger issue, you know, about the cat, and
forgiving the anger about the contents of my mind. The anger's got nothing to do with the cat. The cat's just a trigger. Remember, the anger is the contents of my mind, and as I apply forgiveness to the contents of my mind, I get to remove it. You know, one of the things I've kind of been contemplating as I've been on this trip is just how, you know, as we've gone from place to place to place and looked at the history of these wars and the slaughters and the things that have gone on with humanity or non-humans forever, and the recognition that the mind will always find a reason to use its content. And it's kind of like that old saying of the, you know, to the hammer, the whole world looks like a nail. You want to use a hammer on it because that's the tool you've got. When you have the tool of a human life, then what you want to use on the situation is human life. You want to use the active presence of love rather than the hostilities and fears of the world. And as you speak about, you know, it's been a long-standing problem with the cat, you know, I bet the year before, the decade before, 2 decades before, 3 decades before, 4 decades before you ever met that cat, you had this anger issue. Got nothing to do with the cat. But the mind wants to keep telling us that it's about something outside of us rather than something inside of us. And as I shift my language and talk more and more and more about the contents of my mind and take ownership for it, then more and more it is mine to weaken and remove. And nice work that you've got it down to where it's a small irritation in the gut. And the next level of healing the gut is as you forgive that small irritation in there and let it loose and just bring forward that awesome presence of a human life. Yesterday we were with Sally, and it was the last day of a film festival here in Fort Lauderdale. So we went and did a couple of films. I shared about one of them yesterday, and after the show we went into another, and it was called Walking with the Enemy. And I found myself having to apply this to myself. I mean, it's such a bizarre, insane scene that happened during World War II. It's just beyond comprehension what was done there. And I had to, you know, as you watch what some of these people did to others, people they didn't even know, people they stereotyped, you know, it was just, it would be so easy to slip into rage toward them, to the grief over the loss of human life, just because somebody decided they were going to be a big shot, you know, well, what have you. And I had to sit there through the whole film, very intense, very in-your-face, confrontive with the violence that was done during World War II and sadly still goes on in many venues in the world today. And to keep reminding myself that the solution is for me to keep bringing my human life forward. Does this person deserve the rage? This person who just killed this totally innocent child deserve somebody's rage? Well, yeah, maybe they do, but the real question is, does the person who has the rage deserve it? And that we need to create a breed of true human that has the comprehension that in the root of our being, we are all the same. We all started out with the same, and each of us was given our own brand of insanity, our own brand of guilt and rage and grief and pain and trauma and prejudice, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and that we need to come up with a breed of true humans who, when the atrocity happens in the world, can visit that atrocity out of their human lives, and instead of using the hammer, instead of their rage or their vengeance, their wanting to get even, their grief, their pain, and applying that to the situation, that they bring forward the active presence of love, because it is the active presence of love that's going to heal humanity. It's not more of the viciousness and more of the violence. And so we're delighted that you're on the team to keep moving in that direction and keep bringing forward so that, you know, as compared to the statement of to the whole world, or to a hammer, the whole world looks like a nail, to a human, the whole world looks like a place to apply the active presence of love and bring it forward again and again and again and again until we've dissolved the insanity that has gripped the non-human mind for so long. It's just, it's time for that change to happen.
Great. So the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, I sent you an email regarding this a book. I was actually at her book birthing ceremony, so to speak, on Sunday night. And if it's okay, I'd just love to support her book and recommend it as a good read. It's called Evolving Toward Peace, Awakening the Global Heart. It's written by It's written by a woman by the name of Jala Jabanheim. She's a friend of mine here in Ithaca. And she grew up in post-war Germany. Both her parents were Jewish. Her father actually happened to escape Germany during the war but came back afterwards. So she witnessed all the destruction that occurred in Germany.
Right. Yep.
And her whole life has been about, you know, how do I bring peace to the world? And she's got a institute called the Institute of Circle Work, where she works with women to heal the violence. And you know, she actually has circle work, does circle work in Israel with Israeli and Palestine women. She's done work with women from Afghanistan. So she's, you know, this is her work. And basically the book is about, you know, the techniques she uses in her circle work. So I just wanted to put a plug in for the book. I bought the book myself, and I'm finding it a really good read. And certainly her whole emphasis is basically, you know, not to, well, what I've gotten so far out of it is, you know, accepting the ego and not necessarily having to destroy the ego to be enlightened or whatever, more like accepting the ego for what it is and learning to live more from the heart and teaching a lot of somatic, what I consider somatic, you know, breath exercises that relate to bring people back into their heart. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that forward to you guys. I think it would be a great read for you and Jeannie as well as Dr. Tim and everybody. So anyway, thank you for allowing me to put a plug in for her.
Cool. Well, it sounds like she's living the title of her book, Evolving Toward Peace, out of post-war Nazi Germany into creating circles of peace in the world is a pretty awesome thing to do. And you might let her know about this film. It isn't, you know, it's just running here at the film festival, so it hasn't experienced its commercial release, but in the next few weeks, Walking with the Enemy is coming out, and it might be something that she might want to go and just sit and breathe and apply her work. And, you know, I found it to be very powerful to sit in it myself and just breathe and keep reminding myself that this person doesn't deserve my rage, nor does this one, nor does that one, nor does that one. But what we need to do is start to bring forward and live from the heart, exactly what she's saying. So it sounds like she's right in harmony with what we're doing, so that's awesome. Maybe at some point she could call into the show. We could say hello to her.
Well, that's one of the things I proposed to her was get on the show sometime and have her there available to discuss her work with you guys on the show.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you, Richard.
Okay, have a great day.
It's in the plan. It's unfolding already. Thank you.
And what was the name of that film again? You said it twice now.
The name of the film is Walking with the Enemy. A young Jewish man has his family taken by the Nazis, and he ends up confronting and some people kill a couple of Nazi SS men, and they keep the uniform. So he, in order to save people in Hungary as the Nazis moved into Hungary, puts on an SS uniform and goes right into the middle of the fray and stops, you know, when they're taking Jews to be slaughtered, and others as well. Of course, you know, the conversation in the world is oftentimes about how it was a Jewish slaughter, and the truth is were as many Christians, non-Jews, killed as there were Jews. It isn't exclusive in the Jewish realm. It was anybody who didn't agree with the violent mind, but this young man dons an SS uniform and walks in and takes over where the lower local police are doing atrocities, stops them as an SS officer, and uses the authority of his uniform to change the direction of things and in fact saves, it's based on a true story, saves many, many lives in doing that. So it's pretty powerful. It's kind of along the lines of Schindler's List from a little different perspective, but definitely a powerful place to breathe through the some of the recent insanities that have occurred on this planet, and to bring us into a new space, into a new way of doing things. So, Walking with the Enemy.
It almost reminds me of the Underground Railroad of the United States during the Civil War.
Yes. Respect. Yeah. Very similar. Very similar along the very same lines. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, have a great day. Talk to you later.
Okay. Blessings. Okay,
bye-bye.
Thanks, Richard. Love you. Bye-bye.
We do have another caller.
Well, let's say hello then.
I believe it's Sunny, area 765. You're on the air.
Hi there. Welcome back.
Hey, it's nice to be back. Thank you.
Yeah.
How do you be?
Really good, and I think we're on it now, Michael. I'm looking very forward to joining Rex in his workshop on Sunday.
There was
the last time I called in and talked with Dr. Tim, we got on the subject of adequacy, and then we got on to some other other things, and that's where the regulatory speech thing kind of began on that date. And so I called Rex, and I said, I don't know where Dr. Tim went with that. Could you, you know, I didn't hear what maybe you might have heard. And we went into the subject of my sense of adequacy, is where I've been working on my prosperity issues and my worksheet and all of these things. And I said, you know, and somehow in the course of that conversation, Michael, my mind, my conscious mind, does not recall the words. But in my agreement, in my worksheet, and even my mental process, I just automatically throw myself into the willingness part of the worksheet. I just kind of went blank on where Rex hit pay dirt with frustration. And the first time I heard a definition of frustration that satisfied my need, and that about my childhood, that there was nothing I could do about it, so this carryover of sense of frustration. So it just kind of confirmed everything. But since then, attempting to ask you now how to handle, I cannot put my finger on recollection of the keys that Rex and I hit on. I'm excited to go Sunday. However, ever since then, what he touched on has opened up so much rage, so much anger. I'm like trigger happy. And my vitality has plummeted against my every effort to, I'm just tired, the symptoms of healing, I guess, and a lot of scattered energy. And Sunday was not fun to be, and every day, today I'm doing better than I have. And I believe the initial conversation with Rex when this the healing crisis began was like Thursday. So I don't, I think you might confirm to me it's not important that my conscious mind recall any of this, that, but there's obviously stuff being worked out. Is that correct?
Well, here would be my thoughts. You know, one of the things I've learned in my own process is that when something triggers something that knocks me unconscious, which is what sounds like happened in that conversation with Tim and then further, you know, was wide open with Rex, is that I can't figure out my unconsciousness. It's difficult to be conscious in my unconsciousness. And that's where I want to have a personal code that says I do certain things. I take care of myself. I breathe. I keep eating in a way that supports aliveness. I keep doing my work and keep moving through and out the other side. And as I come out the other side, you know, when as a child we've had huge energetic insults, huge losses, huge confrontations that tend to cause the loss of awareness of who I am as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
When those things open, I want to just keep doing all the things I know to do and keep asking Rukka for support to come out the other side and go through those layers. And for myself personally, I've seen it take anywhere from usually within 3 days, there's a shift in the energy when something like that opens. But I've seen it take weeks to move through. And so you just keep doing all of the above, keep doing your work, stay on track, do what you know is going to bring you out the other side and let the energy move. Sometimes when those things are triggered, they are huge generational issues. It's not just what I've experienced, but it's what's been going on oftentimes in my bloodline forever. And so instead of being in a hurry to get through it, breathe, be with it, and just keep doing your work. You know, it's kind of like that old question, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Take what's in front of you as your next piece of work, and if it's something as simple as your next breath. I've seen it where, and as I was just saying in this film, I mean, it's very, very confrontational, very vicious and violent. And I had to sit there sometimes two, three, four, five times in less than a minute and remind myself to keep connected to love. Remind myself to keep connected to love. Hold the space of love here. No, this isn't a place for your viciousness, Michael. That's their viciousness. You need to open and let the viciousness resonated by this heal in you so that you can bring a different mind forward. And like, you know, 5-10 times a minute.
Yes.
Is sometimes what it takes.
And then I would ask that you join me in prayer, because once I got in front of my calendar, I learned that I'll have my daughter this weekend, so I'm praying for her father's cooperation, that he'll allow me to bring her home later that evening, so that I don't know what her impression will be of participating in the workshop, but my AB honor roll
will hold the space.
I just learned today my AB honor roll student is getting failing grades, and her color guard participation, school function, means more to her than, you know, it just means so much to her. And she'll be forced, or if you will, or what have you, her grades, whatever, she needs some answers right now, too. So I'm just really praying that this is the catalyst, along with some of the propitiation and different little things that are becoming more apparent as she's maturing as a young woman as well. So I really am grateful to you, Michael. I cannot thank you enough. And Jeannie, I really want to thank you as well, because this is all part and parcel of my childhood and my original aspirations. And what an inspiration you are, Jeannie, as a just an incredibly powerful woman, because at 47 Please. Years old, there are no rules, and you have illustrated that so eloquently and so beautifully, and God bless you, because I'm not done yet either. Thank you, dear.
Thank you, Sunny. Uh-huh. Keep breathing.
Yes.
We hold the space for this weekend, and remember that prayer has nothing to do with telling God what God should be doing for you tomorrow. Prayer in Aramaic is to set a trap for God. Literally, that's what it translates as. And what it means is that you be the space of love, that you set your mind with Rachma that we started at the class, the show with today, that you set Rachma in your mind. You forgive everything less than that so that love continues to flow in you and through you. And as it flows in you and through you, it flows out from you. And what it touches, it brings healing. That's prayer. Supplication and petition are, God, do this for me. God, do that for me. That's not prayer. So my input to you would be that you maintain that space, that you really, truly come to the point where you live 24/7, 365 in prayer. And by the way, Speaking of that, I'd invite everyone. I meant to bring this up on the show yesterday, and I didn't, but I would like to invite everyone in the community to really be and hold the space for what's happening in the Philippines today. You know, our problems are nothing compared to what's gone on there and what's gone on in Vietnam just in the last few days with the storm damage and the lives lost and the trauma sourcing from that part of the world, that we as a community come together truly in prayer, truly being a trap for love, and literally sending that energy to those people who are in such dire, dire need and such trauma. And I invite everyone, I know one source is, we on the ship, we were watching some of the coverage on CNN, and on their website, they do have a list of charities that are actually getting money on the ground in the Philippines to support those folks that need it. And
Michael,
so I invite everyone to consider, opening their wallet and putting something into the support of people who in that part of the world live in such dire poverty to begin with, and what little they had has in so many cases, including lives, just been washed away, and invite everyone to hold that space and consider opening your wallet and offering some support to those communities. So we thank you for your call, and we'll hold the space and look forward to hearing how things go with Rex on the weekend.
Okay, could I maybe make
that hear from Rex?
Philippines matter, Michael?
Say it again.
May I offer a little bit about the Philippines? I have a brother of retirement age I've never met, but I've spoke to him several times on the phone, and three other friends from Indiana who go to the Philippines and tell me how much they love being there, how beautiful and simple and peaceful and gracious the people are there, and that it's just like living in the 1950s to be there, you know, that they just feel so good being amongst those people who have now been afflicted, and they really do need nurturing and support right now.
Cool. Well, we hold that space and invite everybody to participate. And Jeannie tells me we've got two more callers, so we're going to shift and see who our next caller is and what they have to say. You have a blast for them, and we'll hold the space for this weekend. Bye-bye.
Our next caller is 970. You're on the air.
Well, this is Brad in Colorado.
Well, hey there, young man. How do you be?
I'm great, Michael. Welcome home, Michael and Jeannie both. And hello
to
everybody
else
out there. Well, my reason for my call today, Michael, is I called in when you were gone, talked to Dr. Kim a little bit, and I always enjoy what you both offer. I think it's right on, and it is about what you talked about some yesterday. Sometimes we have to make things larger than ourselves. And it's not always about ourselves. It's about so many other things that make us up who we are. And I just mainly want to say that I am in great appreciation of the work that you and Judy and all the others in support of this do. It's helped me through many of the issues. But I'm going through systematically and doing this work, and it's amazing to me what it's bringing up.
It is pretty amazing, isn't it?
There again, I don't want to get into telling a story or anything else, but my problems are any greater than anybody else's out there. Sometimes I feel that I've got so many things going on that maybe others don't, and I don't know if I'm justified in saying that or not, but there's just a lot of layers to work through. And, you know, I have to fight the inclination to feel overwhelmed by it all. And like you just said, you know, how do you eat an elephant? You do it one bite at a time.
And that overwhelm is another worksheet topic to work through, because oftentimes on an energetic level, as children, we were just overwhelmed by the insanity going on around us, whether it was in our culture, our community, our home system, our family system. You know, that overwhelming energy is a place to breathe and open and just let that loose. You know, if you listen to Yeshua, 2,000 years ago, he says, you know, take up your cross and follow me. And in essence, and I mentioned yesterday the number of times that I heard the song, I Did It My Way, and on this trip that we were on, we heard that song several times, and each time I kept, you know, replacing the words, I did it my way, and this ego trip that we sometimes tend to get on, and to recognize that here's somebody who understood and showed us a set of tools. And, you know, when he said, take up your cross, he didn't say, take up my cross. His cross was his, yours is yours, mine is mine. And whether it's, you know, something menial or something major, the willingness to do the work, the person who's unwilling, who has just, you know, minor irritations and things to deal with, can be still working on those things years from now. the person who, and you've told us a little of your history, has major, major things going on with the willingness, can step through and out the other side to a great degree in a very short period of time with that willingness. And it is a requirement that you take up your cross. And to me, what that means is that I take up whatever is in me that mitigates against me functioning as I was designed to function, as this awesome active presence of love. My rage, my grief, my guilt, my hate, my fear, whatever it happens to be, my vengeance. And I choose to bring human life and continue to bring the active presence of love forward again and again and again, and that as I dissolve those issues, I literally, and what you're doing, Brad, is you're opening a space for everybody that holds those, you know, issues that go back into the atrocities that have been done to different races on the planet, and the warmonger mindset that's created such insanity. And so we acknowledge, and each time that you do another piece of that work, you become one who, having taken up your cross, having taken up your cross in that regard and prevailing with the active presence of love applied to that situation, literally opens the energy window for every other person on the planet with that issue to start to move through it. And it's so monumental to have people who are willing to take issues that go to that depth. And rather than do it my way, which of course is the old, you know, hostility and fear way, to do it his way. Oh yeah, what do I do when my rage and guilt come up? Oh, I turn to Rahma. I return to this connected space of love in my mind. I breathe. I bring that forward, and I use the tools to dissolve the insanity. So we appreciate the fact that you found the tools, that you're using them, and helping to create that space of critical mass for that shift to take place.
Well, it certainly works. I can tell a big difference in my life. I think my wife, Cindy, also sees that.
Say it again.
I said I see the difference it's made in my life, and I know my wife, Cindy, also sees that. You know, we've been doing a lot of reading in a lot of different areas lately, and it's amazing how much of that gets, you know, mirrored back into how you can see that in yourselves, and in retrospect to that, what you need to do to heal it. And it's, like you say, it's all in the forgiveness work. You know, how we hold the shame and the guilt in ourselves for a lot of the bad choices we made in our life. And even if those choices were not strictly our own choices, but we were forced into certain things, you know, your talk yesterday about the veterans, in which I thank you for acknowledging all those that have served. You know, I went in unwillingly. I was drafted, and the thing you said about hate, how they instill the need to have to hate somebody you don't even know. I've always had a hard time with that one. How the heck do you hate somebody you don't even know? Well, I do understand that now after what you said yesterday. I didn't really understand that before, and that was one of the things I had to work through a lot.
I hear that, and you know, maybe at some point we'll have a somebody who's in the legal profession who shows up on the show and engages in that conversation and then chooses to move forward and do something legally about the hate mongering that happens within the military. And if people could be held legally accountable for that and that component were removed, man, would our world be different. There's an awesome film, if you haven't seen it yet, called Joyous Noel, French title, Joyous, the word joyous, Noel. And it's a true story about what happened in 1917 on the battlefields in France, where on Christmas Eve, there ended up being an opera singer in German, a German opera singer who was forced into military, and he sings a Christmas carol, and his voice is so powerful and so clear and so beautiful going across the battlefield that the Allies in each of their languages join in singing a Christmas carol, and as a result, they walk out onto the battlefield one by one. And as they begin to communicate with each other, they find that they're all the same. There's a powerful song. There's actually, you can listen to it on our website. What's the name of the song, Jeannie? Oh, Christmas in the Trenches. It's sung by an Irish baritone, and it's just an awesome piece of music. But one of the lines is that on each end of the rifle we're the same. And as these men realize this, they end up sharing pictures and chocolates and a drink, and they have a priest who says mass for them all, and they won't kill each other. That's the end of the war for them. They won't do it. And, of course, on each side, they're punished, the German soldiers by being sent off to the Russian front where they know they're going to be killed, and the Allies are just, dressed down by their own families. And the priest in particular, the priest is defrocked because he dared to the Catholic community, the Catholic, Scots and the Irish and the English and the Germans, he dared to say mass for them all. He was defrocked by the church. And it's like, the insanity knows no bounds where there's hostility and fear. And, perhaps an attorney will come forward at some point and make a legal case of the hate crimes that are being done within the military, because they are being done within the military. And it's time to stop. It's time to stop the non-human insanity. So thank you for bringing that up, and we're here to hold the space. And as your process unfolds, any way we can support you, we're here to do it.
Well, thank you all very much. And I also wanted to make an acknowledgement to Jeannie and thanking her for that phone call and expressing several times to keep my focus. That's what I'm trying to do, and it's working.
You are more than welcome, Brad. I've emailed you a couple of times, too. I hope you've gotten those.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said you are more than welcome, and I said I have emailed you a couple of times as well, so I hope you've gotten those emails.
I wasn't aware that you did email. I'll have to maybe go back through.
Okay. If you don't find them, then just drop me a note, and I'll resend them.
Okay. Well, thank you for those.
Okay. Awesome. You are welcome.
I want somebody else if you have time, so I'll get off here for now. I just want to make an acknowledgement that thank you all very much. It's working.
All right. Much appreciation, Brad. Blessings.
Blessings to you all. Love you all.
All right. Take care.
You too. Our next caller, we've got about 2.5 minutes, but I think it's Lady Jane. 918, you're on the air.
Yes, it's me.
Welcome back. How are you?
Oh, I'm so much better. I can't believe it.
Having a second operation
was very successful, and I got more energy every day, like it should have been to begin with. But anyway, the reason I'm calling was about the, you got my ties, right?
Actually, we haven't been over to Mike and Margaret's yet. That's where we had you send it, but we'll probably be over there tomorrow sometime, and I'll make sure to let you know if it's there. I'm sure.
I had called to mention to the audience about the tithe because it's a reminder, but I had a quick story I wanted to tell you, and it's just very brief, but it was so happens that the medication that I'm supposedly on runs about $500 a month. And everybody said, woe is me. And I said, well, that may not necessarily be so. And I just held the space that it wouldn't and came up to find out that my insurance took care of it all, but all $500 a month. And I said to myself, well, you see, tithing really does work. That's the first thing that popped in my mind, that it's not only just giving, you're getting, you get back tenfold. And I knew there was a connection there, and so that's why I encourage people to do it. But you have to believe it, at first, but eventually. There was an inner knowing that told me that I wouldn't have to put out that money. So that's why I'm sharing the story with you, that it works, and it works in many wondrous ways. So you win and I win.
We're delighted that you're feeling better and moving in the upward direction. Maybe that'll mean next summer we'll get to see you at Heartland.
I plan to. I've just got to be. By next summer, I should be. I mean, I'll be perfect by then. Okay.
You've always been perfect. We know that, right?
Perfect.
All right. Well, we're down to a few seconds, so I'm just going to say thank you all for being with us today, and create the best year yet of your eternal life. touch another heart with the presence of love. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Sleep.